Hello, marketing geniuses. Welcome to Gen Z on Gen Z, the podcast that breaks down the generation so you don't have to. You got your two favorite Gen Z hosts here today. I'm AJ.
And I'm Lilia.
And we're very excited because we have a special guest joining us a little later on in the episode. So be sure to stick around for that.
And let's get into it.
Let's do it. Okay, AJ, you know the drill. What's on your For You page this past week?
I mean, I can't scroll a single video or a single tweet without seeing Cowboy Carter discourse.
Obviously.
Like, not only is it the only thing I'm listening to, I just see so many people responding so positively to it and not comparing it to Renaissance, but just like exploring themselves through the music and opening their minds to this new, not even genre, but world that Beyonce is creating with Cowboy Carter.
Yeah.
So just a lot of TikTok specifically, them loving the music. Like dissecting the music,
yeah, a lot of
sharing
dissection.
The music. It's just like the only thing I'm seeing, and I have no problem with that.
I mean, yeah, same answer. Every single TikTok, everything on my Instagram has been completely consumed by this album release. And I think that's what's really interesting about it is that people are all interpreting the art in very unique and different ways, which is a great segue to today's topic, self-expression.
From the get-go, we should explain what we mean by self-expression from a definition standpoint.
Yeah.
And I think the core of that is someone expressing their unique identity, whether it be through social or through their friends, even mentally exploring who you are, how you want to classify your identity and yep. how that shape shifts over time. And this idea of self-expression is just one of Gen Z's most prized values.
100%. More so than I think previous generations too.
Totally.
I think that's something to take note of. And Gen Z, to them, it is so important to showcase different assets of themselves in unique ways.
Totally. According to a study from Canvas 8, we see that 45% of Gen Z feel like there's too much pressure to be perfect on social. Mm-hmm. And I think this idea of being perfect was perpetuated from these older generations.
Totally.
Because it's all that Gen Z knew when they were growing up. It's
yep.
like, all right, this singular mold of a person is what I should be, and that's how I should show myself on social. But now they're throwing it out the window.
Yeah, and that's how they were brought up with social media. That was such, like, to your point, when Gen Z was introduced to social, it was the way millennials had crafted it. And I think millennials did a specific job at curating, you know, those aesthetic feeds, the key word, curated way of expressing themselves that a lot of other people conform to. And so, yeah, Gen Z saw that, didn't vibe with it, and now we're seeing their own interpretation on how they're expressing themselves through social.
Today, we're going to talk a lot about how Gen Z expresses themselves through three different specific modules, the first being through individual products,
mm-hmm.
how Gen Z expresses themselves through the content that they're either creating or that they're watching, and then how Gen Z expresses themselves through larger community and how they navigate that space. Embedding different takeaways that y'all can take into your day-to-day work to understand how to really inspire this sense of self-expression amongst your audience
yeah.
and your Gen Z audience.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, with that, let's get into our first topic, how Gen Z expresses themselves through individual products. You want to kick us off, AJ?
Yes. And I'm really excited about this conversation because the way that I view this is Gen Z's identity is like one big puzzle. There are very specific individual things that Gen Z clings onto to use as a vehicle to express their identity and their self-expression.
Yeah.
And one example that I'll give that's a little more unique compared to the standard is this idea of smartphone maximalism. The Verge posted a great article about this a couple months back, and it basically is talking about how Gen Z have iPhones or Androids, all pretty much the same phone.
Yeah.
Gen Z is resorting to this idea of bedazzling their phone cases or going over the top
yep.
with their design, which is such an interesting avenue to explore this sense of monotony that we all are a part of, but
yeah.
then putting your own little
twist.
Unique flair that's a part of you every day. Like,
yeah.
if you're going to have your phone on you constantly, you might as well make it something that's an extension of yourself.
Of yourself. I mean, it's so funny you mentioned that. My mom, when I got home, I visited home a few weeks ago, she had stacks of phone cases on mm-hmm. my bed because she knows we want different phone cases with different vibes and different outfits.
Yep.
And so she literally took to Amazon and just ordered in bulk so many different phone cases. And so the whole time I was visiting home, my sister and I – would swap and we would change our phone cases to match our outfits, to match our nails, to match our overall vibe. Mm-hmm. And that's just not something I think either of us used to do. But no. To your point, they are something that we have on us at all times. So how can we make that feel unique to ourselves?
Yeah.
And then how can different products, how can different brands play into that truth? How can they be like, okay, so we know that Gen Z values this extension of themselves on the day-to-day tools they use. How do we play into that? How can we participate?
One really great example of a brand that does that is Our Place. So Our Place, for those of you who are unfamiliar, is a direct-to-consumer cookware brand that takes standard appliances, takes standard like
cooking
kitchen
tools.
Cookware.
Cook clearly. cooking tools. Yeah.
And just makes them into these really aesthetically pleasing, design-driven, utilitarian vehicles to help Gen Z learn how to cook and have fun in the kitchen. And it's something so standard that everyone probably either owns, or if you, you know, live at home, you use your parents' cookware if you're into cooking. But this brand has found a really unique way to make the actual items super reflective. I own two items from Our Place. Granted, they're black because I wanted that.
It's your vibe.
But I know a bunch of people that have sage green, ovens.
The bold pink magenta. They did a Selena Gomez collaboration, which was so fun. And there was all these bright colors, and that's what we have in our kitchen too.
Yeah. They just kind of mastered this idea of taking something so standard and making it an extension of whoever's using it and just having fun in the kitchen, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't. And I think a lot of Gen Zers too are using fashion as a vehicle to explore that as well, of what is your daily uniform and how can that be an extension of yourself. And I know one brand that just kills it is, have you heard of Praying before?
I have not.
They are known for their slogan tees. Okay. For example, Charlie XCX was spotted in one that said, they don't build statues out of critics.
Okay, and it's fun.
These iconic one-liners on shirts that Gen Zers are, you're seeing more and more show up on the feed.
Seen these. Okay, I didn't realize that's what it was.
Yeah, they're like, not all of them are from this one brand, but a lot of them are super tug-in-cheek or they're just say something a little unexpected that you wouldn't find at, you know, a standard store at the mall or wherever.
Yeah.
And they're using these slogan tees as a way to also share their point of view on things. Mm-hmm. And whether it's based on themselves or, you know, one of my friends has one that says, give me money. That's literally all it
says. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Easy. Give us money.
Yeah. It's just like, that's so silly, but that's so you.
Yeah.
And we're seeing this also through Y2K and these different types of aesthetics that are driving this fashion industry forward, at least for Gen Z.
Yeah.
And like looking back to the past to find different ways of wearing clothing and different textiles and fabrics and patterns.
I mean, that's why thrift shopping became viral, which feels so silly to say. Thrift shopping got viral, but it literally did. And this is a product that I wanted to talk about in particular to nails, which I don't know if you guys can see, but we have some really pretty nails here. They're fire. I agree. And me and my girl group of friends, we really prioritize nails as a vehicle of self-expression. And that's obviously something that brands are taking note of. They're like, okay, we're noticing that nails are becoming more of something that Gen Zers are valuing. How can we participate in that? And then you have brands like Kiss, which is a nail brand, and they have their stick-on, press-on nails, and they have so many different unique designs because they're like, okay, the standard French isn't doing it anymore. The standard one-shade color situation isn't doing it anymore. How can we tap into things that we're seeing in culture, which is getting your nails done by an artist or at a different studio, something that's just not the same for everyone, and how can we tap into this with our own designs? So you see these more unique press-on nails.
I love that example. And I think a through line for all of this is that these brands don't need to reconsider your entire product line to be these like bold patterns or these large grandiose things or performances, but it's treating your product as this extension of someone that allows your Gen Z audience to fully commit to the full version of themselves and using that product as a means to that sort of end.
100%.
Nerf blasters came to mind. Treating this specific product as like, oh, if you play with Nerf blasters, you are a gamer, you love adrenaline, you're like, you know.
This says something about you.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's go all in that and make sure this person feels comfortable enough to express that side of them like 120%.
That's such a good example. These can extend past lifestyle products. I think that's an exercise for brands to do with their own products is, what about this can be an extension of our audience? What about this can get our audience excited to own this part of themselves? How are we defining this product to be, you know, like to your point about the Nerf blasters, adventurous? You're an individualist because you're embracing this adrenaline side of yourself, like using those words so people say, that's how I see myself. That's my identity. That's how I want to push forward. Great. Let's align with that. Mm-hmm. So tidbits for your brand to figure out what products could be examples of that.
Totally.
So now that we've talked about how Gen Z expresses themselves through products, on to our next topic, how Gen Z expresses themselves through content.
And we're super excited because we have a very special guest here with us today.
We do.
Adlan's favorite social media star.
A UK treasure.
He's also a brand new mover and shaker. So we're super excited to introduce Rob Mayhew.
Yay!
So welcome, Rob. We would love for you to tell us a little bit more about yourself and what self-expression means to you and how you bring that to life in the content you create.
So I am a content creator and I am in my 40s. Is that important? I think it should be.
Yeah.
Because I've got into TikTok when I was 40 years old, which some might say was later than other people. Mm. But I had been in the advertising marketing industry for over 20 years now, which is shocking. And I was also writing lots of strategies and creating creative for social media. So I wanted to know more about TikTok. So I started filming and I started making like 8 TikToks a day. Which
a
is
lot.
Mad.
Yeah.
And eventually I stumbled, about 6 months in, I stumbled on just doing kind of relatable. I did a sketch about when you go into an office, a meeting room, and there's someone already in there. And I used the green screen. Mm. And it went from getting sort of 300 views to like 20,000 views.
Oh my gosh.
And everyone was like, this is me. So I was like, okay, high relatable content. I've got 20 years of working in advertising and marketing. I've got this. I can do this with my eyes closed now. So that was what I started to do. And then I even niched up, if that's the term, and started making it very specifically about our industry. And I've been doing that now for 3 or 4 years. And I love it. And it's the most fun thing. I post every day on TikTok and also LinkedIn. My audience are people that work in the industry, slightly older. But also, I do get quite a lot of young people who want to know about what it's like to join. I forget that people look at my sketches and like, oh, actually, that's what it's like to work in the industry.
Yeah.
But I like to have fun and I have zero production skills. So TikTok was an opportunity for me to actually make something. I needed a creative outlet during lockdown. So I started making sketches and I absolutely love it. I mean, for me, self-expression is a really important thing because on TikTok, as a creator, you know, that's what makes you stand out. Mm-hmm. It gives you that unique, because there's so many people on there, you know, trying to get you to sort of stop scrolling, that you've got to have something to say, a unique voice. It doesn't necessarily mean you've got to look unique, but it's just you've got to have a point of view. And what I bring to my content with the agency sketches is my 20 years experience and the things I sort of noticed in the room and I make little notes of like things that happen. I think, do you know what, that would make a great sketch. Mm-hmm. And it's just that kind of identifying those things. And I then put my own personal twist on it, ideally a joke, try and make it a bit funny. Yeah, it's always been really important to me. And I think now with what's happened with social media, there is a pressure, I think, that everyone has to feel like they have a thing, be unique, whatever.
I think that's a great point about the pressure that comes with self-expression and putting out content, because I know that's a theme that we've noticed even in our research, where there's so much content, like we mentioned earlier, being put out there. And so that really signals to Gen Z in particular, from at least our lens, okay, well, if you're not putting something out, if you're not creating content, how are you different? How are you an individual? It takes a good amount of intentionality to say, it's okay if I'm taking a break. It's okay if I don't have something to say right now. And I think that's also an important thing for brands to take note of. Don't put something out there if you don't have anything to say.
Yeah.
Just don't do it for the sake of doing it. Do it when you have a unique point of view. Do it when you want to feel rejuvenated from expressing yourself.
What age were you when you got your first mobile phone? Because I was 21, because that's just, they weren't around.
Yeah.
And it was a Nokia, it wasn't a smartphone. And I now think about if I was creating content in my sort of mid-20s or whatever, like who is it they would be seeing?
Mm.
And that kind of is a bit scary.
Totally.
It's just the world that we live in now, and that this is your reality.
Yeah.
That you've grown up with a phone, with the internet, and that's wonderful. Like, I come from a small village in Suffolk in England.
Mm.
And I was very sheltered there. So there was no YouTube. I couldn't look at the wider world,
yeah,
with different people and get inspired and feel empowered. None of that existed. So I think it's also an exciting time.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
and I think that, you know, to see so many different people, so many different communities, so many different tribes on TikTok. I love being on TikTok, and I love understanding, like, what's it like to be a Gen Z, especially,
yeah,
working in marketing now. I'm 44. I don't know what it's like to be in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like, the battles. I don't know, you know, how hard, how exciting it can be, the pressure to kind of make content from a content creator point of view. Also for brands, you,
yeah,
know, there's so much that we assume and then we project onto what we think Gen Z are really going through. Brands are obsessed with Gen Z.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's why we're here.
You've got a few more years left before Gen Alpha comes up
yeah, and catches, oh, us.
That's,
yeah,
terrifying, isn't,
I know,
it? I mean, I don't know. They're Gen Alpha.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's great. It's in the name.
I think you raise a really good point, too, when we talk about having phones, especially at an earlier age. Like, I think, Lily, you had your first phone at, what,
10?
Me too. And at that point, it was YouTube. It was the early onset of Twitter and these types of social media platforms,
Facebook,
helping us, yeah, Facebook, explore what's even available out there that we could align ourselves with throughout the proliferation of social and through now TikTok, especially coming in hot during the pandemic when we had all that time to sit with, like, who... like
who
the daunting
are.
Questions of like, who am I? What is my purpose? Once you kind of have that foundation, especially from a Gen Zer's perspective of navigating what's out there, what's available, now TikTok is in this position of showing us not only so much more of what's available to us and what we could explore aligning ourselves with and expressing ourselves through, but also having much deeper rooted communities available to us to show, like, yeah, if you're into anime, for example, cool, I love this. This is a part of me. But now on TikTok, you see all these communities talking really, really in depth about anime and connecting with one another over this and showing you new POVs within that sub-community.
Yeah.
So it feels very much like an extension of our initial social behaviors,
yeah,
and allowing us to just feel more comfortable in the identities that we're developing.
Totally.
And I think that's the lovely thing about it, because we never had that growing up.
Yeah.
We had magazines, we had music, and that was great, and that's still important now. But just to see it on, I see it on TikTok every day, just how confident and just how different people can be, and,
yeah,
how I couldn't imagine seeing that.
Because they're being given permission to do so. Like,
yeah,
to both of your points, the different communities and like the cores that have been created on TikTok specifically, it's literally an opportunity giving people permission to do the same or in their own way or with their own interpretation to add on a different layer from their own experiences. And you're just using these building blocks, yeah, to deepen. And we'll talk more about community a little later on the episode, but it's deepening this sense of camaraderie that all comes from the content. Like, it's,
yeah,
all happening because you're making a choice to put something out there, to say something from your unique POV.
Okay.
Well, I think it's interesting too, especially from your unique position of also being a marketer. You're a content,
yeah,
creator and a marketer who markets to Gen Z.
Yeah.
And so I think it's interesting how you're taking cues from your audience to then influence. I'm sure, like, the work you do within our industry has been heavily influenced by the feedback you've received from your content.
Yeah.
It's like this crazy loop that you've been experiencing. That's such a unique POV.
And I think that's credit to TikTok as well. Removing the barriers so anyone can create content and express themselves has been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So just being just a consumer of that stuff just allows me to, when we work with brands, I can just see what works, what doesn't work. And the creators that spring to mind, they don't have to have millions of followers.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to just feel right. And that's where that self-expression comes in.
Yeah.
It really makes creators stand out to marketeers as well. But yeah, I love it.
And I think something I'll just call out too from what we were talking about earlier with your content is the relatability that people feel in what you create. And from my perspective, whenever we see a comment that's like, this is so me, mm-hmm. or at friend, this is us, to me, that's check. We did what we had to do.
Yeah.
We understand this person so well that they see this content as a reflection of who they are.
Yep.
And
100%.
You're doing your job.
So I think that's an amazing segue to our next topic. So we've talked about how Gen Z expresses themselves through products, how they express themselves through content, and we've teased this, but truly, let's go in depth to how Gen Z expresses themselves through community. So all these things we've talked about today, it really does come down to the communities being built, the communities you're finding, and how those encourage you more, like we mentioned, to express yourselves in different ways. And I think that is, at the end of the day, we're just trying to feel less alone, validated in our behaviors, and empowered to do more things that make us feel like us. And I don't know what that means to each of you, but I'm curious how your sense of community has been uplifted through your experiences on TikTok, either as a content creator or just as a consumer.
Yeah, great question. I think, at least from my perspective, from that consumer angle, the communities I choose to align myself with, I try to strategically decide if it's going to allow me to be a more comfortable version of myself. So especially as a queer Gen Zer, finding the communities that are full of people that unapologetically show their queerness and their adoration for just joy and expression and all the different avenues that intersect alongside this larger macro community of just queer folk across social through the music that we listen to. And we're talking about Renaissance and like house culture and ballroom culture and all these different subcultures within this larger thing that I identify with helps me navigate and keep it fluid, which I think is really important. Social moves at the speed of culture. It changes at the drop of a hat. So having that flexibility to really find those communities that feel very strongly placed within, but not beholden to them. So if you want to explore, you can. And nothing's holding you back. If anything, they're going to cheer you on and be like, dope, do what you have to do to become this fully realized version of yourself. We need that to feel a sense of sanity and a sense of camaraderie.
Belonging,
and going back to that stat from earlier, we look to self-expression to live happier and healthier lives. Community is that one major, major thing that helps us get there.
Yeah, well said.
And you hear brands talk about community all the time, or we talk to brands about community all the time. What are the things that brands can do to kind of be part of a community? Do they find an existing community? Do they create their own community? Mm. Will you see through it? How authentic does it need to be? Because we all know the word authentic is pushed around a lot.
Totally.
Yeah. But actually, if it's something that's interesting, exciting, you know, and what is a community to a brand?
At large, we see these communities specifically on TikTok that fit within certain aesthetics. So it's less of actual physical interest, but more of like, you know, cottagecore. There's coquette, which is all the ribbons and bows and that aesthetic. There's normcore, cluttercore, old money aesthetic, Europecore. The list goes on and on and on. And I think when it comes down to a brand's POV, looking at those specific communities, it's a matter of all these different aesthetics and cores are happening at the same time. So by spreading yourself so thin and trying to capture all of them at once for that mass appeal, in my opinion, isn't going to do you any good. It's a matter of having that strong POV of which communities you want to align with. And McDonald's is an example of a really good brand that taps into these sub-communities through the Travis Scott collab.
Mm-hmm. And like anime.
Yeah, anime right now with McDonald's. It's just their whole strategy, which I see work exponentially well for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not only like talking to different communities, but they're showing that they studied these communities and they understand them.
Yeah. So they feel seen as well. They're like, oh my God, McDonald's can see us.
They get it.
They acknowledge in us. And yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think it can go multiple ways. And an example of a brand that took these ideas, just going back to the cores and aesthetics of everything, instead of just trying to associate themselves with one, Madewell and Jortcore, which basically cut up your jeans and then do whatever the heck you want.
Show your individual style through the way you're creating your jorts. Gen Z is cultivating around these little communities, massive communities. And they're excited about them. And we're seeing so much engagement with these various cores. And by breaking down all the relevant cores at the time, explaining what this means to our audience and how they're using these as vehicles of self-expression. So here's our interpretation of what makes a core exciting by introducing Jort Core, incorporated a fun song that also tapped into the music that they were excited about at the time and really created this really amazing 360 campaign all around self-expression.
How do brands find, like, if they're starting now and they're like, right, I want to understand cores. Did you go onto TikTok and just write in cores? Or just how would you start to understand?
That's a good question.
If you get a new brief in, okay?
Yeah.
And you're like, right, okay, and they want to understand these different tribes and all that. And that's all those that are written in the brief. Where would you start?
TikTok.
Yeah.
Like literally, and I mean, maybe your method's different than mine, but the deep dive, the digging on literally, you would write core and you would see, I always compare the amount of views per hashtag.
Yeah.
I start there.
Yeah.
And then I think once you notice some larger hashtags have gotten a lot of traction, then you do the nitty gritty work of going into the comments and social listening about the interpretation of the core. Cause I think that's something that people can often breeze by is sure, you can see like 5 billion impressions on a core, but what do people think about it? Cause there might be some controversy. There might be some comments in there that you would not have even thought about if you just went by the numbers. And that's why we say, like, as much as data and analytics are important and we don't negate that, but with this new generation of marketing, you have to deeply understand the social sentiment that comes from social listening. There are plenty of cores that I don't know about. And so it really is, at least for my process, like going in there.
And do cores have leaders? Are they like the heads of the cores?
Well, that's actually a great question and something I was just kind of percolating on. Some cores stem from
creators,
a moment in culture or from a creator, such as Sophia Richie kind of leading the charge with the old money trend in that core.
Like she became the face of it and like influenced it.
That's basically a clean aesthetic, but it's good quality outfit. It's not opulent. It's not like, it's not logos, is it?
No.
Oh.
Yes. There we go. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like this rejection of logo mania and rejection of maximalism and gaudiness. And I think there are some creators that when you think of, for example, like Nostalgia Core or Y2K, I think of this creator, Aaliyah's Interlude, that just like flips this trend on top of its head and like everything that she wears eventually will become a trend for everyone who identifies within that core. So there definitely are those who like really exemplify what the core exactly is. And a lot of consumers look to them as their North Star of how they should then express themselves through that.
All these cores that we're talking about, these niches per se, they all ladder back to the communities being built around them because bringing it back to that feeling of camaraderie or just belonging, when you're in the comments, when you're seeing these people express themselves in a way that feels exciting to you, you're like, oh, this is my tribe. This is who I fit myself around right now. And to AJ's point earlier, it doesn't mean you're confined by that forever. That's just the way you're choosing to express yourself for the time being. I switch my version of myself so often because of what I'm influenced by. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, we're victims in the least victim sense of like the world around us. And we're influenced by it for a reason. And that just gives brands a permission to tap into whatever feels authentic and relevant to them at that given point to connect with their Gen Z audience.
And do you think, so if brands want to, let's say they sell donuts, okay, and they want to talk to a core, they want to use them in a campaign or be involved with them, do they just go and speak to them? How do they become like linked to that? What's their right to be part of that core? What's another brand who has done quite a good job of using cores as a sort of essential part of what they do on sort of TikTok?
Cores are very specific to the visual identity of a brand. And so I think natural ways in, I mean, this is funny. You said the donut example. It just made me think of Hailey Bieber's
Road.
Yeah. She literally tapped into Krispy Kreme because she had a line that was like called Glaze. And obviously when she created Glaze, she wasn't thinking about donuts.
Yeah.
But she was like, okay, Glaze, donuts, Krispy Kreme, and did this whole campaign around Krispy Kreme donuts. And it's one of those things where it's like, you just almost do an exercise of linking the chain. Like, what do I know people get excited about? And even though, and I don't know, maybe there are stats about how Gen Z loves Krispy Kreme, but I don't think it's a blatantly Gen Z brand. They just know it's like a thing that would get people excited in collaboration with.
Yeah.
So I think it's all about choosing authentic representatives of a specific course, like Sophia Richie that we mentioned earlier, the old money, clean girl aesthetic. I know that she's partnered with a lot of skincare brands that they really covet that more sleek and clean vibe. And so they tap Sophia Richie. They know that she's cultivated an audience based on this niche. She's cultivated an audience based on being the leader of the old money trend. So these brands that also want to be associated with old money, also want to be associated with the clean girl aesthetic, they're seeing her and saying, okay, if we want these followers to think of us in alignment with this idea, Sophia Richie's our girl. And if you can't afford a Sophia Richie, you then do your deep dive on influencers who are influenced by her, because there's plenty of creators out there that use the same look, use the same aesthetics as this larger scale person, and they do it into their own more macro, micro ways. And so it is a lot of research to understand who these individuals are, but I often think those are usually the best avenues into putting yourself in proximity with these niches. And again, make sure it feels natural to your brain, because I think it's really easy to say, well, this is relevant. Let's just tap that creator. Like Alex Earl right now, she's on fire. But people will read you for filth if you are tapping into a creator in an unauthentic way and are just doing it because you have enough money to do so. But the things that really work is when they see the alignment, when they understand like, oh, yeah, that does make sense for this like energy drink to be with Alex Earl because she's a party girl. Like those things make more sense. Yeah. So round out this incredibly rich episode on self-expression. We could talk about this for hours and hours and hours, but that would be a really, really long time. We would like to ask you, Rob, if there are any final questions for us as Gen Zers in terms of what curiosities you have about our POVs on self-expression.
What would be your top tips for brands when it comes to self-expression? Because I think it is a complicated thing for marketers to understand.
The first thing is, and this should be a no-brainer to everyone listening, but diversity, equity, and inclusion in everything that you do. It shouldn't be a checklist kind of operation. It just should be a part of the ethos of your brand, of finding those people to represent your brand that also represent the people consuming the brand. And that's not a cookie cutter kind of interpretation of the perfect member of your audience. It's everyone and everything and each corner of culture that's a part of your consumer base.
Yeah.
Make sure that they're represented in what you do. And there are many ways to do that, but not to overuse the word, but authenticity is what really reigns supreme here, and showing, you know, the people buying your products in the work that you're creating for your brand is crucial.
Something I'll add on to that too. I think it could be easy to forget this piece when you are targeting a niche and when you are diving into the cores that we discussed, but it's important for marketers to remember within each niche, within each core, within each community, there are so many different types of humans. So that's where the connective tissue is. You could have people of all different backgrounds, all different races, all different identities, all align with cottagecore, all align with the clean girl aesthetic, whatever it is in that moment. You have different humans who want to partake in that. So you can't just go based off, you know, maybe the mainstream of what you're seeing. You need to do your due diligence and understand the different micro communities within these communities you want to tap into. So that's something I would never want any brand to negate, because it could be easy to just say, oh, clean girl aesthetic, we see a lot of white girls posting, let's go. It's no. Let's do our due diligence and make sure, to AJ's point, we are making this as diverse and authentic to the humans behind the trends, to the humans behind the culture that's been created. And then the last thing I'll say to your question is to really to provide a platform for your audience to enact self-expression. So even if it's the Jort Core example we just said, even if it's not even an incentive for UGC content, because that's not as relevant these days, we're not saying, you know, create a call to action for people to create a video, but you want to incite an action, even in their own lives, even if they're not sharing it. So Jort Core was saying, create your own jorts with the Madewell jeans. Great. With a lot of beauty brands, like, we're giving them that inspiration to do these really beautiful looks at home that maybe they'll post on their Instagram about, maybe they won't. But you always want to be thinking about how your brand is creating an avenue for your audience to express themselves, even if it's not UGC. Do not get it twisted with having to put out an output, but just something that they can be doing on their own that will excite them about participating with your brand and participating with whatever campaign you're putting out there.
Brilliant. Yes, Gen Z.
The top two.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Cool. Well, thank you, Rob.
Yes, thank you.
And it's been my pleasure, and I feel very educated. Amazing. And I'm glad that we can be friends, and you're my first two Gen Z friends.
Oh, love. Rob. An honor all around. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And until next time, this was
Gen Z on Gen Z.